Programming is supported by Topline Construction Firm, your local women-owned roofing contractor based out of Shoreview, Minnesota. Roof replacement, both retail and insurance work. More information at toplineconstructionfirm.com.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.
You're listening to NPR News. I'm Angela Davis. Glad you could join us today. A murmuration is a large flock of starlings who fly together, changing direction together. It can be a mesmerizing sight, a many-winged black cloud that shifts shape as it rides the wind. The name is reminiscent of the murmurings of large groups of people praying together. It's also the title of Sid Ballman Jr.'s newest novel, the second in a trilogy that follows the fortunes of several West Texans as they travel the globe from Somalia to Minnesota. Sid Ballman appears tonight at 7 at Majors & Quinn Bookstore in Minneapolis, and he joins me now. Welcome to the program, Sid.
Thanks, Angela. Great to be here.
Now, you've said that the title of your novel, Murmuration, is also an apt metaphor for immigrant communities in America. How so?
Well, I think everyone knows that when there are these large diasporas, whether it's the Irish or the Italians or the Jewish people, that they tend to congregate in neighborhoods and support themselves. I wouldn't really say safety in numbers, but it's just communities, aggregating and supporting each other. And that's what this murmuration actually is. When these starlings murmur, they're doing it. It's a beautiful thing to see. I'm sure many of your listeners have seen it. They do it to protect themselves. It's a safety in numbers concept and from predators. And although they will lose some of them, the mass, the organism itself will survive.
Sid, you got some critical help with this book from a member of Minnesota's Somali community, Samakab Hussein. I know that Samakab helped you gain entree into the Somali community here. How did that work?
Well, I have to go back to the early 1990s. I've been a reporter most of my life covering diplomatic and national security issues. A huge fan of NPR and its affiliates, by the way, many friends. but I covered the failed American humanitarian intervention invasion of Somalia in the 90s. And that was I spent months there working for United Press International. And that was sort of my entree to the great and resilient Somali people. That's not when I met Samakab. But that experience is wrapped into this book. When I first met Samakab, it was a number of years ago, and he's been a good friend for years. He's a local activist and a businessman who came over to Minneapolis in his early teens after some time in the Kenyan refugee camps where part of this book takes place. We were helping a mutual friend who is now the current foreign minister of Somalia, potentially the future president, Mohamed Abdi Razak. I was doing a project related to efforts to counter violent extremism in the Minneapolis community, both the ISIS and Al-Qaeda recruiting efforts and white fascism and white supremacy. And this book is about both. Mm. And that's when I first met Samakab, and his help when I came here to Minneapolis a year and a half or 2 years ago to begin research into this book was invaluable. You know, especially in neighborhoods like Cedar Riverside that are so nice people, good people, obviously, but closed and protective, especially at that time.
And Samakup, I think we have you on the line right now. And let's check in with you and ask you about how you were able to help Sid gain entree into the Somali community as he was tackling this writing assignment. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you for having me here.
So this guy comes to you and it's like, hey, I'm writing this book. Can you help me, you know, make sure that it is authentic? What were your thoughts about playing that kind of a role?
I was excited, and I know Sid Bowman for quite a bit. And when he met me, so I was able, and I was excited when I heard about this story. And sometimes we need a true storyteller. Mm. And that is what makes me believe Sid, and that's how I connect with the community. Because we need someone that can write about it. And generation after generation, people need to know what happened in the past. Mm.
So give me an example of how the two of you all worked together. I know there was a time where the two of you all went to a Somali restaurant together. So what happened in the restaurant that played a key role in how he wrote the story in the book?
We sat there and had a great food, Somali American, and in that restaurant. And we could see it brought back a lot of history and memory when we sit down together, me and Sid. And he was able to ask questions, and he was able to, and I was able to answer it. And that is sometimes it's our culture when someone comes to you and you sit down and you have a tea or coffee or try to talk to about the things. Mm.
So, Sid, why the Somali community and why Minnesota as the focus of this novel, Murmuration?
Sure. I just have to, for your previous question, Angela, I have to put in a plug for Amina Dable at the Village Cafe, East Village Cafe, mm-hmm. over in Cedar Riverside, who's a wonderful cook. Somali specialties, and was I remember sitting there with Samakab and others, and she's just very graceful and helpful and helped me connect with some controversial figures in the Somali community. Just to sort of go to your question, as you may recall, a number of years ago there was a case where 11 young men were recruited by al-Shabaab / ISIS, mm-hmm. and arrested and convicted. Some of them are still in prison. But Amina and Sammy helped me introduce me to their families and to be able to speak with them. And that, you know, that was invaluable. So why Somalia? I have to go back. Just take a step back. This trilogy is about two things really at its heart. The common denominator is what it means to be American, whether you were born here, and I don't suppose really any of us except for indigenous people were born here. And there is a section of the book which delves into that, that sector of our society in South Dakota. And it's also about how our nation, America and the West really, has become so profoundly radicalized since World War II, since what may have been the high point for our country. The reason I wanted to tell that story in three books, and the first book deals more with these two families in West Texas, which is where I live. But those families, one a family of Syrian Muslim immigrants, the other a family of a local ranching family. Texas is, as Minnesota has the largest population of Somalis in the country, Texas has the largest population of Muslims. And what I wanted to do was to profile these diaspora communities, and in doing so, tell a lively story, a story that wraps a lot of my experiences of historical fiction, if you will. But what it really emphasizes is those things, those iconic activities, whether it be sports or celebrations or in some cases religion, how we are unified rather than divided. I mean, while the story is the stories are sometimes shocking, sometimes violent, if I may say on radio, sometimes sexy. Those would be the messages. And so the first platform I used in the first book, Seventh Flag, focused on the divide between the Muslim population in this country and in the West and the non-Muslim population. And the book, while it starts just after World War II, a big part of it takes place after 9/11. The second book looks at the Somali diaspora, and I have to say it's uncanny timing, really, for me, just pure luck. But this book was done and finished well before the murder of George Floyd or the emergence of the Black Lives Matter movement, the much-needed emergence of the Black Lives Matter movement. But it plays in, it has a number of episodes and tales within tales that that mirror that, those exact things. And again, in a timely and lucky way, the main Somali character, his name is Sayid Wale. He serves as a translator for one of the main characters from West Texas, this sort of kick-ass Muslim girl, a lieutenant, grew up in West Texas, kicked for a high school football team, barrel racer, went to West Point and becomes a deadly assassin and a mother. Kind of an interesting point, counterpoint, create both for women, which are critical, both a creator and a destroyer. And he was a translator. And as we know, with what's going on in Afghanistan, the plight of translators and other types of helpers to the U.S. military being left behind. And it's about the journey of his family from Mogadishu to Minneapolis.
And Samakat, let me ask you this. I mean, having a book, a novel, this is a fictional story, but how do you describe the value of having, you know, a piece of literature that maybe gives people some insight into Somali culture and life that they may not otherwise have exposure to?
Thank you. It has a lot of meaning. The name of the book even has a meaning relating to Somali Americans. When we immigrate in the United States, every state that we go to, we stay together. That reflected in the book as well. And telling the story that happened from Somalia all the way to here, it has a connection.
And Sid, I know that the main characters in the book that you've described, you know, they identify in terms of different religions. And so why does it matter that they come from different faiths as you tell the story?
From different faiths, did you say, or states?
Faiths, different faiths.
Oh, faiths, mm-hmm. Faiths. Well, that's the heart of the tapestry the heart of the tapestry of the mosaic that is American culture. We're a polyglot culture. We are all different faiths, Christian, Muslim, Jewish, Hindu. And that, to me, again, going back to what I said earlier, is the common denominator, is the strength, is the thread that stitches all of us together, is our belief, although it's under threat now from the white extremist community, which play very heavily into this second book. And I can talk a little bit about that later. But it's, again, that common denominator that we all share, freedom of religion, constitutional guarantee.
And Samakap, I'm interested, how does Sid's rendering of Somalia in the novel compare to the real place?
Sid had the experience over decades, and he worked in Somalia in the past. And just looking at a book and reading in the page 225, it talks a bit about the religious, race, and the class, and what it means to be in America today. and I'm thrilled to be part of this novel book.
So how does this collaboration work? You know, Sid, as you were writing this, do you write a chapter and then you have Samakab like read it and be like, nah, that's not the way we would say that or how that would have played out? Tell us more of what it looked like.
Sure. Well, I think of it as historical fiction. And there is a lot that's true, a lot of real characters. I mean, Samakab himself is in the book very briefly and others. Jim Bishop, the American ambassador to Mogadishu when the Americans withdrew. But the way it works, of course, I have a publisher, and Angela, maybe, you know, you're a journalist, you're a writer, you understand this. After I'd done, I spent a great deal of time researching, a lot of it here in Minneapolis and St. Cloud and Wilmer, visiting those Somali communities, interviewing and talking to people. But once I got what I considered a finished manuscript before I submitted it, pardon me, to my publisher, I sent it to my unofficial readers. Samakab was one of those, and others. You know, the military has a component in there, plays a big part. And with a book like this, the ranching community in Texas plays a big part. The success of it, in my view, or at least the personal success of it, lies in the details. So if I'm describing, you know, for example, the Black Hawk Down incident in Mogadishu, which Ridley Scott made a fine and very accurate movie about, and I put the pasta factory, misname it, which is where the incident took place. I wasn't far away from it when it happened, actually. Or if I have a soldier using a certain kind of gun or saying a certain kind of thing, or I have a West Point professor in a certain building and he's not there, that really weakens it. And I experienced as a journalist, I'm sure you did. You get something wrong and you hear from people.
Absolutely.
They're just, yeah.
As you
They'll
should.
They'll call you up. Mm-hmm. Of course. And I love for my readers to contact me. But it's, you know, you don't want that to happen. So through this network of unofficial readers, and there was probably 12 of them, including Samakab and others, you not only vet the story, but you check the facts.
And so, again, Sid, Murmuration, it's the second book in a trilogy. The first book is called Seventh Flag. What made you start writing fiction after a long career as a journalist and a communications professional? Why did you want to turn to fiction?
Well, Angela, I think you and I, you know, we come from the same place in all of this. So as a journalist, particularly covering the things that I covered, spent almost 25 years overseas. You know, covered all the wars as part of my job. The other was to travel with the American presidents and their secretaries of state on overseas missions. And just, you know, so many stories. And as journalists, you know, we always feel like, you know, we sort of have this ball of thread that we keep adding to, kind of like a beetle or something. And it gets bigger and bigger in our back pocket. And finally, at one point, I decided that to pull that ball of thread out and explore whether I had a novel there. And it was this sense of profound chaos and radicalization that seemed to be setting into our nation, both, you know, it was the Tea Party movement initially, which grew into this fascist white nationalist movement. And of course, on the other side of the spectrum, the ISIS and Al-Qaeda and bin Laden kinds of activity. And it just felt like I could, through this story, through this ball of multicolored, tangled thread, that I could put together something meaningful and something that would help. That's how it went.
And Samakab, before we say goodbye, I'm interested in what you're doing these days across Minnesota in the Twin Cities, when you're not introducing writers to the local Somali community. I know you have an interest in politics. Tell us what you're working on right now.
And right now, I'm just helping candidates that can mean a lot to us in the state of Minnesota. But at this moment, I'm also working with an organization called TC Youth Council. I work with kids after school programs and try to help them be in a good path.
All right. Well, it's all the time we have for now as we talk about the book, A Murmuration. I want to thank my guests. We've been talking to Sama Cobb Hussein, a businessman and politician in Minneapolis, and Sid Ballman Jr., a writer and teacher. His novel, Murmuration, is available now, and he will be at Majors & Quinn in Minneapolis tonight at 7. Thank you, gentlemen. Thanks for listening to a recording of my live radio show on NPR News. A reminder, if you want to catch the show in real time, tune in and call in at a new time, 9 a.m. weekdays on NPR News.